We were gone for 1 week. I feel like I've been gone a month. But we're going to finish today the Beatitude part of our sermon series on following Jesus. And for the third week, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, looking at the attitudes, and I'm goofy enough to say the Beatitudes that you best behave having if you're going to serve Jesus, because these are the attitudes that it takes to really follow God. We've talked about being poor in spirit, realizing that we need God, coming to that place where we realize that we're searching for everything, but nothing's there, something's missing. We try to fill it with about everything we can, but nothing fits just right except for Jesus and for God. So we've looked at that. We've talked about those who mourn. You realize that your life before Jesus is not what it should have been, and you are going to make some changes. You're going to ask for forgiveness, and He's going to bless you for that. You're going to be comforted. We have to humble ourselves to say, it's not about me. It's all about God. And being meek does not mean you're weak. Doesn't mean that we have to just tolerate everything and just do whatever. But we have to serve our God. A couple weeks ago, we talked about hungering and thirsting after God, you know, having that desire to know more about God. And the more we know about God, the better we are able to serve Him and to act like Him. And then making sure that that we forgive because we were forgiven. And doing it with a heart that says, I do forgive you. We're human beings. We're probably never going to forget. So we're not like God. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say that God forgets. He says that He takes our sin and He throws them as far as the east is from the west, and He chooses to remember them no more. And that's a huge thing. So if we could figure out how to not hold things against people, that would be great too. But like I said, don't the old forgive and forget phrase, that ain't happening, all right? We're human beings. You mess with me, I'm going to remember. But through God's help, we can get over those kinds of things. And I think that's where He wants us to be. And so today we're going to be looking at the last three, which are blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted. So stand with me this morning. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I'll put His principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him and He began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Father, that last one's a little tough to take. Blessed are you when you are persecuted, spoken falsely about, for my sake. Help us to realize that serving you comes with a cost. It comes with people not understanding why we believe that you are good in the midst of trials, why we believe that you're in control when the world seems out of control. Father, I just pray that you'd be with us today as we look at these Beatitudes that we ought to have. Help us to be more like you every day that we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I had called Gary a couple weeks ago because our family is planning a trip during Memorial Day weekend, and I called him, and he said, "Oh, God just laid a message on my heart. That'll be great for that weekend." I'm like, "That's really good." And so when I called him Friday to see if he could preach last Sunday, I wasn't sure what he would preach. And he goes, "What do you think I should preach on?" I said, "I have no clue." I said, "Just tell them to follow Jesus better this week than they did last. And then fill in the gaps, you know, because that's what we do. You know, we got to make it from week to week and go through the challenges that the devil throws at us and that life just in general presents to us. But these last three Beatitudes that we're going to talk about are really important. They get to where how Jesus conducted himself, if you will, while he was on this earth. The first few are about how to get along with our fellow man, but the next three that we're going to talk about are how we deal with people who honestly may not know who Jesus is and how we can be lights in the darkness and how we can show them a better way and show them that we serve a God who created us for fellowship and because he wants to have a relationship with us. And it's not all about the do's and the don'ts and the rules. It's about having a relationship with the God who created the universe because he created you special. And in that, he wants us to have his likeness. And in Antioch, in the book of Acts, it says they started calling the people who followed Jesus Christians because they acted like Christ. So the word Christ, or the word Christian, means Christ-like. Our culture has taken Christian to mean I was born in America or I go to church. And that's not necessarily true. You can be born in America and be a Christian. You can go to church and be a Christian. But just because you are either doesn't mean you are. You have to make that choice to follow Christ. So this morning I want to start with verse 8, where it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And pureness of heart is something that I think we can strive for in a way that makes us usable and worthy to be used, if you will, in the kingdom of God. None of us are perfect, okay? None of us are without sin. Most of us, I'm just going to say all of us, even after we get saved, there are sins that we battle that we have to conquer. And then once we get that one done, then God shows us another one that we need to work on. And it's a process of just becoming like Christ. But there's a part of being pure in heart. And it's not so much that you're perfect, but it's that you have a desire to be like Jesus. And when you truly desire to be like Jesus, you become someone who he can use to draw other people to him and to do works of service within the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is not the building. The building is just a nice place to come to and gather on Sunday mornings and other times during the week. But those of us who follow Jesus, we are the church. And so we are kind of like things, if you will. I don't like the word things, but we're kind of like the things in the Old Testament that when the Israelites built their tabernacle and built their temple, there were certain instruments, utensils, bowls, candelabras, those kinds of things that they set apart for use in the temple. And vessels in worship of the temple had to be pure. So they had to be sacrificed over. They would consecrate them, set them apart. And the only time they were used was for the service in the temple or the tabernacle. And vessels used in worship were sacrificed for, like I said, and the blood that was shed made them okay. We are made pure because Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And so when we accept Christ into our heart and accept the fact that he died for us, his blood covers our sin and makes us pure in heart or pure in God's sight, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And when we sin, you know, the Bible says that God's eyes, God the Father's eyes, are too pure to look upon evil. And so when we sin, we need to be, we will be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and then we ask Jesus to forgive us of that sin, and then Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of the Father, and he basically, I say it like this, he's our defense attorney. You know, we mess up, we tell him, we ask for forgiveness, he tells the judge, they're okay, everything's been paid, and it's like, okay, your slate's clean again. And so I think it's a great way to think about how we live this victorious Christian life. We follow in his steps, and we're made pure as we keep taking advantage of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. But we must guard that purity, though, okay? Because Satan will do things, life gets in the way, and Satan wants to distract us or take us away. You know, Satan has two goals in this life. He either wants to take you to hell with him, because he knows he's going there, or he wants to make you the most frustrated Christian that ever walked the face of the earth. And so we have to guard against allowing him to win the battles. And there's going to be times when he does, but we are going to just have to say, okay, that's one for you, but God wins the war, you know. And so I'm saved. I'm ready to go to heaven. You can mess with me all you want, but it's really not going to make any matter. Might make life a little rougher, but it's not going to make a difference in the long run if we guard our purity. So pureness of heart is something that we really need to strive for. And again, it's not that you're going to be perfect. We used to talk in the church about being sinless. And I'll be honest with you, as a kid, when they used to talk about the doctrine of entire sanctification and being holy and everything, that was something that I just did not think I would ever be able to attain. And because of the way it was preached by the pastor that was at my church, honestly, I was just like, he was like, if you're not sinless, basically, you're going to go to hell. And my attitude was, I was 17 years old, and I was like, well, if I'm going to go to hell anyway, because I know that that ain't happening, I might as well have some fun getting there. So I walked away from God, and I chose to go my own way for a while. And God, in his mercy, didn't let me get in too much trouble and stuff. And I came back to him about age 22 and have been trying to do my best to live for him as much as I can since then. But we're supposed to be holy, which is set apart, not perfect, but it's set apart for God's use. The goal is not to be sinless, but it's to sin less than you used to. And the more you try to sin less, the less sin's going to be in your life. And so purity of heart is something we really need to guard. We're also in verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. When I see that, the first thing I think about is, blessed are the people that, you know, keep the peace. And I'm going to be honest with you, that is not what this verse means. We are not peacekeepers, okay? We are peacemakers. We are people that help others make peace with God, okay? Our job as children of God are to get more people adopted into the family by showing them what Christ has done for them, by showing them how much God loves them, that he gave us his son to die for us. And we're supposed to try to help people make peace with God. We do that by showing them who Jesus is, how much he loves them. There are some really cool tools that, as we learn more about God, there's places in the Bible, there's a passage where there's a book called Romans that a lot of us understand, and we call it the Roman Road to Finding Jesus. Part of it is, you know, in chapter 3:23, it says, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Then it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I mean, it just goes through there and it can help people understand. We need to help people realize that it doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter where they're at in their life, God is bigger than Satan, God is bigger than their sin, and they get to enjoy the same adoption into the family as the rest of us. I don't know how many people I've talked to in the last 20 years since I've been here that have said, well, you know, I think I've just done too much stuff that's wrong. My life's too messed up for God to really want me. And we would all fit into that category if it was about whether we were good enough to be a child of God. But when we accept Christ and when we come to that place where we've realized we're poor in spirit, that we need to ask for forgiveness, that we've humbled ourselves, we become peacemakers. We build bridges. And for some people, those are really long bridges because they've, quote, think they've done way too much. And so they think they got to have this huge bridge. But we used to listen to some music, and I used to go to youth camp with the kids, and there was a group there, and they had a song it started out, it said, a million miles away from you, but when I needed you, I turned around and you were only one step away. And that's where God is. God's only one step away, no matter how far we get from Him. We just need to help people build the bridges. The last one we're going to talk about in the Beatitudes is the one that none of us like, and that's, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have trouble in this world, all right? No one's going to have the perfect life. Things are going to go wrong. Things are not going to be perfect all the time, or maybe any other time. You know, sometimes you're going to feel like nothing's going right, and you just have to accept it. But Jesus made it clear in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, in this life you will have trouble. He didn't say you might have trouble. He didn't say you could have trouble. He said it, you know, He said you will have trouble. When you serve Jesus, number one, your trouble is going to come from your natural enemy, and that is the devil. In whatever way, shape, or form he can give you problems, he's going to do it. There's probably going to be some friends or some family. When you decide that you're going to start following Jesus, they're going to say things like, what makes you think you found the quote answer? Or why do you think you're so much better than me now that you go to church? And that kind of stuff. People are going to, it's natural for people to feel guilty when they're in the presence of God. And when we accept Christ into our lives, we carry the Holy Spirit with us. And you walk into a room of people that don't know Jesus, and I'm going to be honest with you, it makes them uncomfortable. And you don't do it on purpose. It's just the way God works. I've never said to anyone, before I became a pastor, I worked as an assistant on a golf course. I worked as a mechanic on a golf course for years. Hung around with a lot of people that didn't know God, that didn't want to know God, who spoke most of the time in some very horrible ways. Their conversations were just nasty and everything else. But what always used to amaze me is if I was out on the course doing something and I would walk into the break room, all of a sudden it would just be like, their mouths would just shut. It's like, can't talk that way around him. And I never told anybody not to cuss around me, not to talk dirty around me. I didn't have to do that. The Holy Spirit goes before us. He clears the way. And as we truly try to follow Him, God will do that for us. Our walk creates issues for others. It makes people feel uneasy. Because even though they may not want Jesus, they may not want anything to do with God, the fact that we have decided to follow Jesus makes people uncomfortable at times. My sister is a Mormon, and I've tried to talk to her a little bit about, you know, the fact that that's a cult and not a true God-fearing religion. And she gets real defensive, and she'll say things to me like, what makes you think your God is so much better than mine? And it'll be like, wait a second, you said we serve the same God. So the defensive thing hits you really hard. And so our walk creates issues. And it's going to cause some friction. I remember as a kid, we used to, before my parents were saved, I can vaguely remember going to the Christmas parties that our family had. Once my parents got saved, we weren't invited to a lot of the Christmas parties because they wanted to do stuff that my parents didn't want to do, and they didn't want to feel guilty about it, so they just quit inviting our family to the function. And it hurt. And it, I mean, I remember Mom talking about it, but it was just your walks at times create issues. But the reward is worth it. Number one, it says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness, for ours is the kingdom of heaven. Not only do we get the promise of going to heaven when we die, but we get the peace of God that only He can give to us. And we get to live with that peace while we're here. And so, I just want you to remember the attitudes of Christ that He's told us we need to have as we begin this journey of following Jesus. And whether you've been following Jesus for a year, 2 years, 20 years, if Leroy was here, I'd give him a hard time because it's probably be like 65, you know. Madge Horakowski, before she passed away, she died when she was 97, I think, and she got saved when she was 19. So she walked with God for a long time. And I walked into her room one time at her nursing home where she stayed. And I'm a young pastor, and I just said, you know, I said, I know you've served God a long time, and how have you gotten to be the saint that you are? And she laughed at me. And she goes, man, I still struggle with stuff today. And you don't expect to hear that. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear people go, well, you know, once you get past 10, everything's really easy. You know, and it's like, that's just not the way it works because Satan doesn't give up. As relentless as, you know, that song we said, your goodness is coming after me. And it's, he's always wanting to pursue us. Satan's a dog and he just hounds us too. So we have to decide that we are going to live the way that God wants us to. So the key to these Beatitudes is not perfect behavior, but it's an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude that says, I am so grateful that God loved me enough to send His Son Jesus to die for me, that my natural response is I'm going to live for Jesus. If He died for me, I'm going to live for Him. And if we can do that, we can live in fellowship with God. Let's stand some more. Father, I thank You so much for the compassion that You have on Your creation, that You just didn't start over when Adam and Eve messed up, but You started making plans and You made a way for us all to have a relationship with You. I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for the sacrifice that He made so that we can have fellowship with You. And I pray that as we decide to follow You and work at it every day that we live, as we read Your word, as we pray, as we try to learn more about You, I pray that You would help us to truly have that grateful spirit that says, if You died for me, the least I can do is live for You. Help us to be like You because we believe in who You are. I ask this in Your name. Amen.